Let's start off this morning with a little riddle, okay? What is this? Most people don't like it, except for a baby who has a full diaper. Okay? Change, right? I heard it. Okay, yeah, very good. Change, okay? Most people don't like it. Most people want to stay sort of status quo. We like things the way they are. We don't really like change. We certainly see it in the church. For example, I would say at least 50% of you are sitting sort of in the same area, at least, that you always sit each and every Sunday. Maybe not the exact row because, you know, so-and-so got here too early today, so I can't get my row, but at least I'm in the same area, right? Okay. Most of us, though, if we don't like change, there is good change. And that's what we find today in 1 John chapter 3 as we look at seven verses, because those verses are all about change. They're all about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus as believers now in the Lord. It's all about a good change that God has made for us. And we're going to look at four things, four areas in which God has changed us. He has changed us, our relationship with Him. He's changed our relationship, how we think of the world. He's changed our future, and He's changed our attitude about sinning. First of all, our attitude, He's changed our relationship with Him. Now we have a good, restored relationship with God, our Father. But spiritually speaking, it has not always been that way. How were we? Paul tells us about how we were in Ephesians chapter 2, as verses 1 through 5. It says, first of all, you were dead in the trespasses. We were dead in our sins. We had no life. Spiritually speaking, we were basically a corpse. We were dead in our sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air. Who's that referring to? That's Satan himself. He's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were here's the key. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were children of wrath, deserving God's wrath. We were children of evil. You see, spiritually speaking, we were not turned toward God. Since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, we now have this original or natural sin, we call it, and we're not turned toward God. We are turned toward evil. And so our evil instincts is what's in our lives. We see it as we, if you've ever raised kids or grandkids or nephews or nieces or think back to your own childhood, you didn't have to be taught on how to tell a lie. It naturally is inbred in us. Evil is our nature, if you will. We don't have to be taught on how to cheat. It's our nature. We know how to do that. We have to teach our kids what to do right and to tell the truth. But it's going against the nature that we were born into, as we were born with an evil nature, nature of wrath. Children of wrath. Bad news. But God does something about it, doesn't He? And that's where we pick up our 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, right away. It says, see what great love, and just FYI here, I'm using the NIV because it's got a couple of words here that I really like, and the ESV has sort of kept these words. So chapter 3, verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. First of all, see. Okay, verse 1, chapter 3, see. It's in the imperative mood. In other words, it's important stuff. It's a command from God. John is saying here, see, open your eyes, look, don't glance over this stuff. Don't just read over this. Take it in. Absorb it. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. The great love of the Father. That sacrificial love. That Calvary love. That forgiving love that God lavishes on us. Pours it on us, if you will. I can remember when I was a kid, there was a drugstore called Thrifty. And inside Thrifty was an ice cream place where you could get ice cream. And to sort of date myself here, it was 10 cents for one scoop, 20 cents for two scoops, and three scoops you could get for 30 cents. So I saved my nickels and dimes, and of course I got a three-scoop ice cream. And you get the cone, and the lady scoops on and scoops on, and this ice cream came out to be about this long, this big. It was huge. That poor cone got lavished in ice cream. It was great. That's what God, that's his love to us. It's lavished upon us. It's heaped upon us. It overfills. The 23rd Psalm says, my cup overfills. His joy, his love for us. He's lavished it upon us. That's the God we have. The love of God lavished on us that we should be called what? Children of wrath? No, not anymore. Now we're called children of God. Now he's completely changed our relationship with God our Father because of what Jesus has done for us. We're now called his children. We are God's children. Let that soak in for a second. God's child. That is you. That is me. That is what we are, John says. So our relationship with God our Father has changed. But also our relationship to the world has changed. Have you noticed that the world's not friendly toward Christianity so much anymore? Perhaps you have friends or relatives that, what are you doing going to church? Why are you wasting an hour doing that? You should be home with your family, or it's your only day off. Come on, just relax. Enjoy the whole day. Don't be here in church for an hour, you know, praising God and worshiping him. What are you doing? And certainly we see the world has different values. The whole culture of the world is different than what we are as Christians. The world says, hey, if you're going for a job promotion and you're going against somebody and you know maybe a little insight or you know a rumor that could or could not be true, make it known. Look out for yourself. Look out for you. You're number one. You're the thing that matters. You're the one that should matter the most to you. So whatever you need to do to get that promotion, hey, if you have to step on a few toes, let it be. That's what the world says. The world says, if you can change a few numbers on those income tax returns and you can save yourself hundreds of dollars. Nobody will know. Nobody will, you won't get audited. And the government, they waste so much money anyway. It doesn't matter. That's what the world says. The world says to us, if somebody does something wrong to you, hey, get him back. Revenge. Get him back doubly. If they made you hurt, make them pay double. Make them hurt even more. That's what the world says, isn't it? The world has completely different values, different culture than what we as Christians should have. We as Christians say, no, we want to put our glory and honor to God. We want to look out for the best of others. Different culture, different environment. But we can't exclude ourselves from the world. We have to live in the world. And the world may hate us. We heard from John 15 in our gospel reading, the world may hate us because we're counter culture to what the world says. The world hated Jesus because they didn't know him. And that's really the trouble, isn't it? People don't know who Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer. They don't know that. And so they don't know him. So we have to live in the world, but we don't have to live of the world. So not only is our relationship with God changed, our relationship to the world has changed, but our future has changed as well. We've gone from being on a path to doom and destruction of hell to a path of heaven, of being with our Lord and our Savior forever in heaven. Our future has changed. We will be like Jesus, our reading says. And our scripture verse says that we will be changed. We will be like Jesus Christ. As a believer in the Lord, we know that this is not our final place of dwelling, but heaven is our home. Heaven is where we will dwell forever with our Savior Jesus. And these bodies that will give way to a new resurrected body, a glorious body in heaven. Because there's one of two things that's going to happen to each and every one of us. Either Jesus is going to return, which he could do at any minute. He can do it in a couple of seconds, or he can do it tomorrow. He could do it the next day, or he could do it in 50,000 years. We don't know. Jesus is either going to return, or we're going to pass away from this life. And as we pass away from this life where Jesus returns, he will take us home to live with him forever because we're his child. We're his child. And we will be changed. We will see him in his full glory. 1 John 3, verse 2 reminds us. It says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God." Okay, he reminds us who we are, how important that was. "What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We as Christians live in what we call the now, but the not yet. We're living in this world, looking toward the future, yes, where we will live forever with Christ in heaven. But we still struggle. We live on this earth. And yet, while we live on this earth, we are becoming more and more like Jesus each day. As we grow in our faith, we look to Christ and we want to imitate him. We want to do those good things that Christ has done for us in our life. Why? Does that save us? No, but it's what flows out of our life. It's the good things that flow out of our life because of what Christ has done for us. And so verse 3 goes on of chapter 3 says, our relationship to sin has changed. Yes, that is our final point that we want to make this morning, is that our relationship to sin has changed. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. You know where your future is going to be. It's in heaven with the Lord. You know our relationship to the world has changed. You know our relationship to God has changed. So what do? We have this hope. We know where we're heading. So we want to purify ourselves. We want to live good lives. We want to put sin away. We don't want to sin. We know that sin separates us from God. We know that God detests sin. So we want to purify ourselves. We want to do good things. We want to not sin. As a believer in the Lord, we don't want to do something that separates us from God. We don't want to do something that God detests, so we don't want to sin. We want to live pure, good, holy lives in accordance with God's will. And so, yes, we'll fall short. Yes, we are sinners, but we know we have that forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So we don't want to sin. But what about the non-believers? Have you ever thought what they think about sin? Non-believers, yes, they may want to live a good life. Yes, they certainly want to stay out of prison, not do things wrong that put them into prison. But does a non-believer care less that their sin separates them from God? No. Does a non-believer care less that God detests sin, and so that's why they're not going to sin? No. But we as God's children, we as believers in the Lord, we know that sin separates us from God, and God detests it, so we don't want to sin. And so our relationship to sin is, we don't want it. We don't want to sin. But when we do, we know that Christ has taken it to the cross. So, not only has our relationship to God the Father changed, our relationship to the world, our future has changed, our relationship to sin. Then we got verse 7 that says, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. And when we first read this verse, it might say, boy, that's sort of out of context. It just doesn't seem like it flows with the rest of what John is talking about here in these first 6 verses. But really it does. It flows nicely. You see, because there are people, there are religions, there are preachers out there who will lead you astray, who say, yeah, okay, you know, your relationship with God has changed, your relationship with the world is different, our future is bright, living with the Lord, but that sin thing, yeah, you know, we're all bad people anyway, so don't really worry about it. Don't let it mess with you, you know. And there's folks who don't take sin very seriously. John says, don't be led astray. Don't be led astray. We who have been changed by the grace of God, we who have a new relationship with God our Father, we who have a new relationship with the world, a new attitude, and a new bright, glorious future, we have our attitude that we don't want to sin. We want to lead good and pure lives. May that all come true for us as we live in God's kingdom. Amen. Shall we pray? Shall we rise and pray together? Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the change that you made in our lives. You have changed us from children of wrath into your children. You have given us such a bright future, Lord. We know that we shall be like you as we live forever with you in heaven. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have taken our sin to the cross, and help us, Lord, now not to live in sin, but to live to your will. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.